1 Peter chapter number 1. Verse number 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for the word of God. Thank you for these that have come and ask you now to help us. Father, that you'd anoint us and help us to be an able minister of the word of God. And will just speak to our hearts this morning and bless, I pray, Father, as we go through this service, that Father, hearts might be touched and we might be helped, I pray. In Jesus' name we ask, amen and amen. I want to preach to you on the thought this morning to be holy. To be holy. And Emerson, a man named Emerson, asked this question, what must I do? And he said, I must do all that concerns me. All that concerns me and not what people think. Now, you can kind of take that into two ways because so many people today live with the thought of doing what they want and it's nobody else's concern. It's nobody else's business. I will just do what I want and like I want and it's me and it just affects me. Well, first of all, that's a lie. It don't never just affect you. I mean, you can do what you want and it is true that it is your life and you can live like you please. But it's also just as true that one day every man, woman, boy, and girl is going to give an account to God. Amen, for this life and how we have lived it. But this statement this morning that I want us to really look at and focus on when he asks about what his duty is and what's our duty as Christian. Now, I don't know what every single person is called to do in a specific field or area, but I do know that every single Christian is called to be holy. Is called to be holy. And we're going to look here at just a little bit. There's a lot of stuff here that could be unpacked, and we may do that in the weeks ahead. I don't know. But this morning, just in these text verses that we read, want us to consider, he said in verse 13, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So the first thing he says is keep your mind. Keep your mind. Now, I know we've all known people and maybe we've even said about people, you know, boy, they lost their mind. Listen, we live in a world we might say, boy, they've lost their mind. They gone slam crazy. And you know, we've looked and we've said that about folks. Maybe some folks have said it about us at times when we've done certain things. And while those statements may be absolutely true, the greater problem that we have and that we see in this world and with people is not necessarily their mind, it's their heart. And the Bible tells us this in Jeremiah chapter 17 in verse 9 and 10. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. The heart of men. He said it's desperately wicked. Why do we see all these things and these evils that transpire and go on in this world? Because the heart of men is desperately wicked. I mean, what is it that God, when he saves an individual, what is it that says that he does? He gives us a new heart. The heart, amen, is what he has to work on. That seat of our emotions where everything that comes out of our life flows from. Amen. And we still have to deal with this old flesh. And amen. And until we are glorified, amen, we still have that propensity towards sin. Amen. Things happen when things go wrong or somebody makes us mad. Those are things that, amen, we have to work on. We have to keep this old body under subjection because it is that propensity to sin that we need to guard against. And so he says, keep your mind, guard your mind and your heart. Be careful that you don't let other things in because the things of this world, it's constantly trying to feed us the things of this world. And there's a reason for that, because they're trying to influence our direction. And the old devil, amen, is trying to influence our direction. And the choices that we make, and those choices that we make has a great deal to do with the things that we see and that we hear and we go. Listen, there's a reason that they pay millions of dollars to air a commercial during the Super Bowl. Amen. They're looking to get an audience in those commercials. And of course, if you watch any TV, you all the time get into advertisements. They're trying to put you in mind of something. And maybe somewhere down the road, you'll come across and you'll think about, you know, I wish I had this. Well, yeah, I'm going to try one of them. I'm going to try that. I mean, they look to influence. The old devil, he looks to influence us too. And so he says, keep your mind. But you know what happens in life, and it happens in a lot of areas, people become intoxicated by feelings and by words, by things that happen in their life, and they get drawn away from that which they know is right because of the feelings and things that happens, and they hear something that they like and they're drawn away. They're intoxicated with those thoughts, and it causes many to drift and entice certain places and times to drift into sin or away from the very faith that they say that they once believed. And they wander away because of an influence, things that they let influence because they let their guard down and they let some things in. And listen, here's the thing about letting things in your mind. It's hard to get them out. I mean, even after sometimes, it's just hard sometimes to get all those things out. It may be things that we don't think about most of the time, but every once in a while, it'll just make a revolution in there. You know, I don't know about y'all, but that's the way it is with me. You know, my wife will ask me, what's the name of that fella that sold us that car up yonder, you know, and I say, oh, I know that, you know, and anyway, maybe the next day when I walk through the kitchen, I'll say, Sam, she'll say, what? I say, that's the fella that sold us that car. You know, it took it 24 hours, but it finally popped back up. You know, and that's the way things do in our mind. They're there. And he said, keep your mind, guard your mind. It matters. We used to sing the song to little children, you know, be careful, little eyes, what you see, and little ears, what you hear. You know why they sang that song? Because it matters. It makes a difference as what we see and what we hear. And so he said, keep your mind. But he said, also in that verse, he said, in the latter part of that verse, he said, for the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. He says, keep your mind. The enemy will bring many trials and many oppressions and many things we'll have to go through in this life. But he said, don't lose hope, because, amen, you're going to see Jesus one day. Amen. Your hope, no matter what's going on now. Amen. The sister just sang the song. I've come too far to turn back, to look back now. Amen. And that's what he's saying. He said, hang on to that hope because it's real and that you're going to see. But he said, guard your minds. And amen. For us to be the people of God and to be the holy people of God that God desires us to be, we need to guard our minds. We need to be careful about what goes in, what we see, what we hear. And so he says there in verse 13, he said, guard your minds. In verse 14, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. The second thing here in verse 14, I wrote down, I said, watch your fashion. Watch your fashion. And I'm not speaking about the style of clothes you wear per se, although how we dress is included in these verses. It's there. Boy, you know, used to you'd hear more about that, but if you preach about what you're supposed to wear today, you become legalistic. You get tabbed as legalistic, but amen, it's in the Bible. Amen. God spoke about it. And see, here's the thing about being holy. And he says talking about fashion, and he's not necessarily talking about the way we dress here, but it includes everything that we do. There's nothing that is exempt when we talk about being and living a holy life. Because the Bible speaks and he says here to be holy, and he tells us our fashion. Listen to what he says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Don't be conformed to this world. Well, that's why that influence, it's constantly, it would love to conform us to the world. Now the word used here in Romans 12 and 2, that word that's used here for world properly denotes an age or generation of people. And so don't be conformed to this age that we live in. Don't be conformed to this generation. And there is a seeking to bring conformity. We hear a lot of talk today about tolerance, but as I look and I see, what they really mean is we'll tolerate you if you act like us. I may have mentioned this the other day. I know I mentioned it somewhere around the house, but I saw the cover and I don't even know what the book was about. I just happened to see the front cover of the book and it caught my attention because there's a big old dog sitting by a little old cat and he's looking down at that cat and he tells that cat, I would like you a lot better if you was more like me. And amen. And that's what they mean by tolerance and conformity. If you'll conform to our ideas, we can get along. But see, the Bible says for us not to be conformed to this world, to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. To do what? To know and do the perfect will of God. Well, the perfect will of God is for me and for you and for Christians to live holy in everything that we do. Amen. In everything that we do. Not fashioning ourselves according to the former lust that we had when we were walking, it says, in ignorance. We should not conform to the maxims, the habits, and the feelings of a wicked and generation that's all about their idolatrous practices and luxurious living and all that, and us trying to run as fast as we can to get what they're trying to get. But we should be conformed to the principles and the precepts of the laws of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what he's called us to be and to do. He's called us to be holy. And we cannot be holy if we're chasing the same things that the world is chasing. We cannot conform to the ways of the world and be holy as God has called us to be holy. And I wonder, and I thought about this, God help us, and we all know the answer. Today, would we say that the world is influenced more by the church, or is the church influenced more by the world? Amen. I think all we really have to do is look around and see which one has the greater influence. The world has influenced the church. And we've seen all kinds of changes. And God help us, because that's exactly what he's speaking of here. That's the opposite of what he tells us to do. Don't be conformed to the ways of the world. It matters. It matters. We are to be holy. The Christian is to be as different from himself or herself after conversion. We are to be changed. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Different. Our fashion. We're to be governed by new laws. And we have a new object. We aim at the prize of the high calling of God. We're trying to be what? We're trying to be holy. Oh boy, we got struggles. We dealing with this old flesh. But listen, he said for us to be holy, to be molded into a life that looks more and more like Christ. That's what he called us to be. Jesus was our example. And so he's called us to be and to look and to walk like Christ. That's our example, not the example of this world that we see and that we live in. Don't be conformed, but keep our mind. And by keeping our mind, we keep our fashion. We don't follow after the things that we used to. All of those things, we begin to shed things. And listen, sometimes I realize, even in my own life, there's been things that I used to do. Now, I'm not even talking about sinful things. I'm just talking about some habits and things that we used to do that we don't do anymore. Not because they were bad of themselves, but amen, because they hindered what I need to be doing. They hindered, and amen, and sometimes and some things just give an occasion to the enemy and gives a stumbling block in front of my brother, and God says, that's not what we want to do. He's called us to be holy. And amen, and that's the third thing here in this particular passage in verses number 15 and 16. But as he which hath called you is holy. Who called you? God did. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy when? In all manner of conversation. Verse 16. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Thirdly, be ye holy. Leviticus, the verse that it references, Leviticus 11 and 44, he told the Israelites there, for I am the Lord your God, and ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. He told them here in Leviticus 11 and 44, be ye holy, for I am holy. This was a command, and it was first addressed to the Israelites, but it's proper to be addressed to us, just as we see it here in 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse 16, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And so this command is good for us, just as it was for them. And the foundation of the command is this. The foundation of the command is for the professed people of God, that we should live, amen, as His children, that we should live our lives, that we should be like our God. Be like our God. Our God is holy. The book of Micah says in Micah chapter 4 and verse 5, for all people will walk every one in the name of his God, and we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. Amen. How's people walking today? Amen. Micah says that all people walk every one in the name of his God. All the pagan nations, you know how they walked? They walked in the name of their God. They did the things. And you know how high they rose? They never rose above their God. Amen. The things that their God did, amen, that was okay. And they didn't have to worry about rising above their God. And he said they're going to walk after their God. So he said to Israel, and he calls us, so how are we to walk? Walk after your God. He's holy. Walk and live, amen, like God. The pagans walked and lived like their gods. And he said, we are to walk and live like our God, who is holy. Amen. And we see it still today. We read that verse a while ago about the heart of man is desperately wicked. Who can know it? But you know what? We live in a world, amen, in the very beginning, Satan came with this principle to Adam and Eve in the garden. If you'll take of this, you'll be like God. And so what he's telling you, you know, you could really be your own God. You know who most folks' God is today? Themselves. That's who their God is. It's themselves. That's why they don't rise very high. You ain't got to go very high when you got a wicked heart. Now then, most folks wouldn't say, and even Christian folks would argue, well, you know, I'm not that bad. Listen, it's not what God said. And see, here's the reality. We can think about our own selves in certain situations, and when we get mad, upset, even angry, some of the thoughts and the things that we think, where did that come from? Well, if it wasn't in there, it wouldn't have come through your mind. It just wouldn't have. I mean, that's just some things that's not going to come through. If it's not in there, I mean, I ain't never got to worry about my wife playing with rattlesnakes. Never. Never. It's not in there. It's not going to happen. But listen, that old flesh and those things that rise up, we look and we see, and we even look and we use him for an example a lot of times at King David and the things that he did, and we say, I would never do anything like that. Well, listen, that's what David would have said too if you'd asked him 6 months before. But you know what? It was in there. It was in there. I've watched people and I've watched in their lives and I watched them. Boy, you know, and I'm talking about church folks here now. I'm talking about, I mean, things happen and they get to going along in life and you know, you think, well, what a good solid brother and sister. And but then something happened, some things happened that was totally unexpected. And I mean, and sometimes some bad things, but all of a sudden you see a different side. You see things happen in them and boy, there's a change and bitterness comes up. And you say, well, where did that come from? Well, see, it's in there. We have to guard against it. We have to what? Because God has called us to be holy. And amen. And I cannot be what God wants me to be except by God's grace. But see, God has given me grace. And amen. He's given me enough grace that I can walk in the light. But we sang a lot of songs. I thought about that this morning. Singing about sunlight, sunlight. You know what? The sun. Thank God for it. We can walk out in it. And on days like today, if you've ever been outside on a day like today, maybe in a little bit of high grass or broom shade, I've been hunting and you can get out there when that breeze is blowing. It's cool, but you can lay down in the grass and you can feel the warm beams of the sun on your face. And boy, it just feels good and you can soak it up. But you know what? We can't look straight into the face of the sun. We can't just stare into the sun. Amen. We can't do it. It's too much for us. And not only can we not just stare into the sun, amen, we certainly can't get very close and touch the sun. But amen, thank God the sun can reach to us and can touch us. And we can feel the radiation, the radiance of the sun. And amen, guess what? We can't look face to face to God and see Him. But amen, but He shines on us. He sent His Son, Jesus, in this old flesh veiled in a body to radiate and to let us see who God was. To give us a glimpse of what we should be. And He shines. Amen, He's the light of heaven. He told Moses when Moses desired to see Him, He said, the best I can do, and I'm paraphrasing, but He said, is I'll put you in the cleft of the rock, and when I pass by, you can see my hinder parts. Amen. And that's what Moses saw. He just saw just the hinder parts, because no one can see God face to face and live. Moses couldn't bear it. We couldn't bear it. But he said, you could just see my hinder parts. And he passed by and Moses just caught, we could just say, he just caught a little glimpse. He caught a glimpse. And when he came down, he had such a glow that before he could talk to the people, he had to veil his face. And all he did was just catch a glimpse of a holy God. Amen. And he radiated the holiness and the brightness of God. And God calls us. He told Israel. He said in Leviticus 11:44, you be holy because I am holy. He tells us in 1 Peter that we read 15 and 16 there, chapter 1. Be ye holy for I am holy. God, let us get a glimpse. Let us catch a glimpse because it matters in our lives. It matters how we live. Amen. The character of our God that we worship should make a difference in every area of our life. We are a worshiper of the holy God. And God help us to pay Him the reverence that He is due. Amen. And true religion, what it does is it brings about in our hearts and lives, it should bring about a tendency for purity and to want to walk pure and holy, because God, we recognize that that's what God is and that's what God desires of me. To be holy. The character of Jehovah. What's God like? He's holy. What does that mean? Well, it means a lot, but it means in the New Testament it tells us this about Him. That there's no darkness in Him at all. It's just all pure light. He's holy. It's this that when Jesus, before He was crucified, and Pilate said this of Him, He said, "I find no fault in Him at all." Say that again. He said, "I find no fault in Him at all." He was perfectly holy. Now I'm going to tell you what, me and you won't ever be on this side of glory. We won't ever be able to say that we're perfectly holy. Not on this side. But amen, God help us this, because see, I think sometimes here's what we do. Because we know that it's only by the grace of God that we can be holy, and we can say we won't ever be completely holy on this side of glory. We can't, but amen, we use it as an excuse and just go on to do the little things that we want to do. Amen. That we know we probably ought not to do. That we know probably don't bring any glory to God. That we know when folks look at it and see it, they don't really recognize it as being holy. God calls us to be holy. And listen, if we're honest with ourselves, as we walk, as we just go through the day, there'll be things that we do. They might be something we do before we get out of this day that we'll probably say, "Whoop, right there was the flesh. That wasn't God. That wasn't holy. God help me." Listen, God's called us to be a light. How are we going to be a light? Be holy. Be holy that we might shine. He says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." And what does He say there in verse number 15? But He says, "But as it is written, He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." And what that means is that's in every area of your life. Every place that you go, everything that you do. He said, be holy. You know, the soldiers, the Roman, those they didn't have to quit being soldiers. They just need to be holy. They just need to be right with God. Different things. Listen, now there's some things if you do, I mean, you're going to have to quit. But God's called us to be holy. In all manner of conversation, in every part of our life, it matters. And God help us. Be ye holy. God says, for I am holy. Amen. If we want to be like our God, we're going to have to be holy. And we're going to have to ask God to help us. God, by Your grace, to help me to mortify the deeds of this old flesh and to walk in light as You are in the light. Will You stand with us this morning? While we sing, if you have a need, I pray you come. Yeah. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day, for this time. I ask you just to touch, I pray, our hearts, and pray your word find a place to grow in our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you this morning for coming. Amen. Remember prayer meeting Wednesday evening.